This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
Yo, you are in the right place at the right time, listening to the right thing. Tech Webcast. Congratulations on choosing such an awesome thing to listen to. You are clearly very smart. You're into tech stuff. You love hearing Brad and Jason and their guests chat. And you're probably really good looking too. Well done. So let's get into it. The weekly tech extravaganza that is Tech Webcast. In 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to episode 208 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on Saturday, the 29th of September, 2012. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. And welcome our hosts, Brad, Jody, and myself, Steve.
Welcome.
And Paul.
Oh, yeah, and Paul. Well,
sorry, and Paul.
And special guest, Janko from Giganome, Cord Cutters. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you on, mate. Steve's back. Hey, Steve, what's up, mate?
Hey.
And Jody's back again.
Yes, I am.
Yep.
And Paul. Exciting week this week.
Really? What happened? Oh, yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. Paul, okay. What's up, mate? Paul, what's up?
Sorry. Nothing much. There's probably the one big thing that happened this week that I know about, that probably everyone knows about.
Yes, and my big highlight was me getting my iPhone 5 in the mail, at the post office, actually. That was quite awesome indeed. Paul, you got one, mate. What are your views on it so far?
It's okay. I haven't really used it that much at all the time, but it seems to be working as good as my old one.
All right.
Yeah, okay. I should probably use it a bit more.
You should.
To actually find out how I think of it.
Yeah, you should. Welcome to the show, mate. Good to have you on again.
Nice.
We got Jody. Hey, Jody, what's up?
Hey. You know, I just can't understand why Paul isn't sleeping with his iPhone 5 under his pillow.
That's what I do every night.
I figured.
That's what I do every night. That's what I do that. Steve, what about you?
I sort of...
Do you sleep with your iPhone next year?
Well, actually, it's got Siri in there, so who knows? Maybe I will now. That's a good idea. It's got Siri.
Hey, you know what? There are studies that are done, and most people, when they wake up, first thing you do before you even go to the bathroom is you pick up your phone to see what came in when you were sleeping.
Yep, that's what I do. Exactly the same way. You just hit the nail on the head. Exactly the same thing.
Absolutely.
Yep. I'm sure you do the same thing, Jody.
I do, actually. But there's other things that people do that when they're checking their phones that they shouldn't be doing, but that's a whole different story. We won't go there.
All right.
We don't.
And also welcome to Janko? How do you spell that?
Janko. That's fine. Janko. Everybody gets it wrong.
Yeah. Where are you from, mate? You're from a different country.
Germany originally.
Germany. Good stuff.
Oh, that's interesting.
But now I'm in the Bay Area and close to San Francisco.
All right. Well, let's get into some news, Jody Rains.
Well, I think the most exciting news this week was that Brad got an iPhone 5.
That's sort of near the end of the show.
Yeah, that's big news.
It is.
But the other big news, personal news, this week I was on TV locally here in the Philadelphia area on CBS, which is Channel 3. And the reason I was on the news was because there was a local story that had to do with a Facebook stalker. Apparently, this guy was targeting young ladies in the South Jersey and New York metro, at least 20, possibly 25 people. And what he was doing, evidently they had their phone numbers available, and he was calling them and telling them that they had limited time left to live and that he was going to dispose of them. And So obviously these women were frightened. They went to the police, and they eventually did find and catch this guy. And the reason I was on the news was to talk about Facebook and how you can protect yourself. So there's a link to the video on Channel 3 in the show notes. If anybody's really bored, you can go and watch it. So that's a little bit of personal trivia. But in the news this week, Apple apologizes for Maps. Have you guys had problems with your Apple Maps?
I don't use Maps.
I've for tested it out.
I'm just happy with the TomTom app that I always use. So.
What about you? Brad, do you use the Maps?
Oh, I don't think he's back yet. I'll just go ahead and say something he put in the chat room. I've tested it out today because I know there's been a big hoopla over it, and I did test it, and it was off because we were at IHOP, and it was showing our location is like across the street. It's actually across the highway, so it's a little bit farther than a normal street would be. And the direction, I tried the turn-by-turn directions, they were off. They shut off for some reason. I don't know why.
Wow.
But like I haven't fully tested it yet. But
yeah, it's official now because Apple's new Maps and iOS 6 have problems so serious that even Apple CEO Tim Cook has issued a public apology about them. And what does Apple do next? Going back to Google-powered Maps is unlikely but not out of the question. More likely, Apple's going to push through the pain. However, it could reconsider whether Maps really should be a home-built product. Previously, Maps in before 6, were largely powered by Google's mapping data and remain that way in iOS 5. And Google has been building its mapping product. Obviously, they've got a much, much longer head start. And it makes sense because they're a search engine. Many search needs are local in nature, and owning Maps as a search engine is very, very important. So Google has always had, or pretty much has always had, an excellent mapping engine. I think the big dilemma was because in the Android phones, you do have turn-by-turn directions. However, in the Apple phones, the feature was not there. So I guess the thermonuclear war, that's what they're calling it. Steve Jobs declared in January 2010 his anger that Android was deemed a ripoff of iOS, and Google's move into mobile strained the relationship between the two companies, and they went from partners to fighting rivals. So given this, Apple's depending on Google for mapping data seemed to make not a really good long-term kind of a strategy. So what they did, they still, from what I understand, had a year left on their agreement with Google, but what they did was they went in and they created their own app, and perhaps they weren't really ready to launch it. And their understanding now is that developers are not consumers, and the apps function, this Maps apps, it just is not where it needs to be. So today what they did was they opened up the App Store, and they're featuring some of the other mapping applications. So kind of an interesting twist of events. Anybody else want to make a comment on that before we go to the next story?
Actually, I do, because I covered this on my show right before the Tech Quick webcast we're doing right now. And there's actually, I give an example of the Maps. Yes, it wasn't really ready. I mean, tell you the truth, it never really would be ready until they released it, because they need that user data feedback of the problems in the software to get it going. And Google is never going to allow Apple to have certain features like they do in Android, like turn-by-turn directions, vector mapping. And so I think there was a good decision by Apple to finally just break it off with Google and Maps and design their own, even though it's not ready. But I think, yeah, they do need to release it, even with the problems, because, like I said, they need all these users' feedback. So the more people that use it and submit feedback, the better it's going to be.
Yeah, it can only get better for me.
Let's hope so. I know added the other apps as well, just as a backup. But honestly, I don't really use my phone for navigation. I have a Garmin. Like, you know, Paul, you said you have a TomTom. So it would be nice if it was reliable, but unfortunately at this point, you know, I even the Garmin has idiosyncrasies. So our next story, you guys are familiar with Clout. And a couple weeks ago, Clout had a big revamp of their interface. Well, today they announced that they're adding Facebook pages into their scoring mix. And their users are now able to connect their pages, Facebook pages, to their account. Facebook pages are already being factored into the Clout scores, and content from the pages will soon start to show up on Clout profiles. And for those of us who care about Clout scores, the company says that the mean score increase from connecting a Facebook page will be about 7 points. The scoring algorithm will look at things like how many fans a page has, how many people are talking about the page, among other things. And there's also some caveats that users might want to know about. Clout doesn't want individual users connecting brand Facebook pages to their accounts. The brand Facebook page should be connected to a brand's Clout account. Clout only allows one type of Facebook connection per account, so you can either use your personal profile or your business page. If you already have a personal profile connected and then add a business page, Clout will replace the profile with the business page. So what do you guys think about Clout? Do you use that as a measure, Steve?
You know what? I have no idea. I haven't heard of Clout before.
Really? Okay, Paul.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that either. So I'm not really sure what that is.
A measurement tool where you can compare your social media influence with others. So, how about you, Nico? Have you used Clout, or do you rely on it at all?
Yeah, I've looked at it a while ago, but I at some point chose not to bother with it because I kind of think, in the end, I don't want to get any perks for my communication or something. I don't want to be forced to tweet more so I get cheaper coffee somewhere. And I also don't really think that really reflects real influence or real meaning. So I just thought it was a gimmick and maybe some people like it, but I chose to ignore it.
Got it. And a lot of people have struggled with whether it really does measure social influence or not. And I have to admit, I have received a couple of perks along the way. And it's nice. The things that I've received have been very nice. I don't think it influences me one way or the other with regard to how I represent what I'm talking about on social media, other than, you know, if somebody sent a very nice perk, I might, you know, tweet or post or, you know, put pictures on Google Plus and say, hey, this was a cool thing. All right, let's move to the next story. I don't know if you guys heard that Facebook gifts get real. You know how when you have a birthday and yes, people send like a miniature icon or a picture and, you know, they send you like a teddy bear? Well, evidently now you're going to be able to send real gifts ranging from gift cards to a large selection of physical goods. And the gift giver simply needs to choose an item for a friend and then you pay for it within Facebook. So it's all in Facebook.
Hey, Jody, can you buy Apple stuff?
I don't know if Apple's stuff is going to be available.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
That is kind of interesting.
My understanding, I think that it might be connected with Starbucks, but I'm not sure. Since it's such a new program, I have not seen it yet. Have you seen it?
No, I can't get it in Australia. I don't have it here yet.
Oh, so we're going to have to send you gifts? Is that what you're saying, Brad?
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
The shipping would be killer, though.
Hey, you know, Brad's worth it.
Thanks, Jody. Appreciate it. You're. So yeah, that sounds good. Sounds good. What about you, Paul? What's your view on this? Would you use it?
Well, as I said, it's not available in Australia.
Not available. So if it did come to Australia, would you use it?
I'd have a look at it for sure. Okay. But obviously, I don't know how good it is until I actually use it.
Cool. All right. What about you, Janko? Would you use it?
I don't know if I would use this particular feature, but I think it is interesting that it shows how important like online currencies become, because before Facebook payments, I don't know if any of you guys oftentimes use Facebook payments for anything, or even like virtual stuff, but I think it's reduced to like maybe I think about it wrong, but it's a small group of people who actually pays for stuff on Facebook.
Yeah.
And once the stuff becomes real, it of course becomes a whole different story, right? Because we buy real stuff all the time. We give people real presents all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it just shows how much Facebook wants to be in this game and wants to be part of this whole payment story that many companies are now part of, PayPal and all kinds of other story.
Definitely.
Companies now looking into like extending online payments, and Facebook wants to be a part of that.
Hey, you should have just seen Steve's face. It was so funny. It was not funny. Steve, would you use it?
Oh, you're talking about me?
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to say my birthday is February the 8th, so if you send me anything, it'd be great. Just letting you know.
Okay.
I'm just putting it out there.
I'm writing it down right now. okay, good stuff. What else, Jody, has been happening? Do you want to mention anything about this story?
You know how a few years ago with Twitter, like there was a day of reckoning when suddenly hundreds of Twitter accounts disappeared because they were ostensibly not real Twitter people, they were bots. Well, Facebook just went through a great big purge like that as well. And some of the big losers, you know, it's kind of interesting that had all of these likes on their pages, suddenly went down like dramatic numbers. For example, Texas Hold'em Poker lost a 30% increase, which was 198,344 likes, which I probably will never have accumulated during my lifetime, but they just lost that in one day. Lady Gaga, she lost 65,505. You may be interested to know that Justin Bieber lost less than that. He only lost 45,274, which was a 10% decrease. Makes you start to wonder, right, whether these guys are buying these likes, right? Or whether they're true fans. I mean, you know, if likes are a measure of importance, you know, are they trying to deceive the other users? So what do you guys think?
I have no comment. I have no comment. Sorry, Jody. Steve, you got a comment?
Yeah, I do. I've seen something like this similarly. Something I think on YouTube or where you can actually get like buys. Subscriptions, but they're actually not, well, they're real people, but they, I don't know, maybe bots thrown in as well, where, you know, a sub for a sub or something like that, or even, I think they had some other bugs as well for thumbing up or, so yeah, I've heard it out there, not just Facebook, but yeah, it's really knocking the system, and, you know, I don't think it's a good thing, so I wouldn't doubt if, you know, perhaps they even trying to buy likes or something like that.
All right. Jody, is that it? Any more news story stuff?
Interesting tidbit. Instagram suddenly had a dramatic 6-month rise, and it now has more daily mobile traffic than Twitter.
All right.
So in Instagram, you guys, do you use Instagram?
Hell yeah. I use it all the time. I love it.
I don't.
What about you, Paul? Do you use it?
I could probably start using it.
I reckon you should, mate. Get in there. I love it. Just beware of you know who on there. That you know that guy I told you about that.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Is he on there?
Yeah, he is.
Really?
Yep.
Oh no.
What about you, Junko? Do you use it? Jacko, do you use...
Sorry, man, I was a little slow. It's a transatlantic connection. No, I'm just have to unmute myself. Yep. I don't use Instagram.
Yeah, use it.
And part of that is because I know they're not on Android, but I'm an Android user. And
sweet.
And originally, of course, they were just on iOS. And so I didn't really have access to it. I have an account, but I don't use it. But I mean, yeah, it's interesting. And it seems like they really took off once Facebook was buying them, right? And once the first stories about that started picking off, because suddenly people on Facebook were like, what is this Instagram thing? And maybe our photos are finally going to be better.
Yeah.
And yeah, good for them.
Cool. And that's all my stories. Brad? Okay.
Sorry, he's keeping on this dog. He's going crazy. So we had a guest on, Jody. Who was it? Who do we have? Jacko from Giganome.
Giganome, yes.
Tell us about it. What do you do on there, mate?
So Giganome is a technology website, hard blog. We also have like a research arm and stuff. So we're kind of like a modern media company in a way. But so I'm a blogger essentially, and I write about a lot of online video stuff. I write a little bit of online music. And I think part of the reason why Brad wanted to have me on the show is that I also do a show called Cord Cutters. It's a video, it's an online video show. And we review devices, review services, and give tips and tricks on how to get rid of your pay TV subscription and save a bunch of money in while you do so. And yeah, it's been kind of interesting. Cord cutting has been taken kind of off in the last year or two. It's been becoming kind of a big story, and people are really interested in it. We get a lot of feedback. And so yeah, it's been a fun ride.
All right, Janko, you got 5 minutes to convince Steve to get rid of his cable TV. Go.
who should I convince? I missed that part.
Convince me too.
Steve and Jody, go. I'll give you
everybody.
Yeah, everybody, yep, go. I don't have pay TV, so
I guess the question is, so if you guys have cable, I would imagine you pay like $70, $80 a month for the TV part of it. Does that sound about right?
Easily,
yeah. It's much cheaper in Australia.
It's much cheaper. Well, it is. I think. Cord cutting is kind of a U.S. story to a large degree. It's starting to become a story in other countries now as well. But the U.S. TV is more expensive, especially than in Europe. Or I know Europe better because that's where I'm from originally. But in other countries, it's cheaper as well. And in the U.S., people, the average household pays, I think, $78 now every month for cable or for paid TV. So that's about $1,000 a year. And almost nobody is happy with it because most people watch like 10 channels maybe, and they have their 10 channels that they really like. They have a couple of shows that they really like, but they get 200 channels, 300 channels as part of a big package. Most of them they don't watch. They have to pay a lot of money for it. And the technology isn't all that great actually when you compare it to a lot of the stuff that you can get now online when it comes to like on-demand stuff and when it comes to, you know, I don't know, subtitles and this and that the companies like Netflix offer now. So many people are looking now, you know, if you aren't, the question is, if you're not happy, if you pay all this money and you're not happy with it, maybe you want to replace it. And I think that is also different probably in Australia, but at least in the US there's a lot of also legal alternatives now. So there's Netflix in the US, obviously. There's Hulu in the US as well, and they have their Hulu Plus subscription service, where you pay, instead of $80, you only pay $8 a month. And you get access to a lot of stuff most times the day after it airs. And then you can watch it on your TV through connected devices, through a Roku box or something like that. And I think it's a really appealing proposition for many people. And, you know, everybody likes to save money. That was the under 5 minute version, I think.
Well, so, actually, go ahead, Jody.
I'm sorry.
it's funny because I was talking about Brad during the pre-show. I told him I just recently got my cable fixed, and you know, since I got it fixed, I didn't want to get rid of it too quickly. But tell the truth, a lot of the stuff that I watch now, half of it I do watch online. There's a lot of television shows because I necessarily can't be here to watch them, so you know, I like to watch them all in order from season one all the way through whatever season. I'm probably not going to get rid of cable, but, you know, my viewing has changed through the internet, keeping up with all my shows.
And I think that's true for a lot of people. Not everybody is, to be honest, not everybody is ready quite to get rid of cable. And there are some things that are a little harder to watch online or even over the air, and part of that is sports. If you're a really hardcore sports fan, many people stick with cable because some of their games are just on cable channels. So there's some like pain points still, and some people aren't quite ready to get rid of cable, or maybe they just get a really good deal from their cable company. But I think a lot of people are in the same situation as you, where they are like, not really using it as much. And so then instead of getting rid of it completely, maybe they downsize it a little bit and they get rid of, I don't know, HBO, or they don't get rid of, they just switch to a cheaper package and see if they can shave off some money that way. And there's even a term now for it, it's like the cord shavers, the people who kind of trim their pay TV subscription down to a smaller package. So it's kind of interesting. That's like in another trend that's kind of connected to this.
Oh, Jody, I know you can say something.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, when it comes to cutting the cord, right? I agree. I watch a lot of the episodes on Netflix that I might have missed on regular TV. Also, a lot of the TV stations, even if you don't catch that episode, like I like Grey's Anatomy, they show that episode on online, usually, like you said, the day after it's aired. But what I find might be lacking, and Janko, maybe you can share with me if there is an alternative, I like watching the news as it happens. You know, yeah, you can get some information from Twitter, and yes, you can get some stuff from Google Plus, but the local news, the things that are happening in our area, where would I find that if I cut the cord?
That's a really good question, and I think that points to something that many people are not aware of, which is that I don't know, when I was a kid, and again, I grew up in Europe, things are a little different there, but we used to have antennas to watch TV, and like, was before cable was big, at least in Germany, and you had these clunky things, and the TV picture was kind of snowy, but that's kind of how you watch TV, like, back in the 80s. And the interesting thing is that through cord cutting in the US, anyway, antennas are getting kind of a comeback, because over-the-air television has become digital a couple of years back. There was a transition that forced all the stations to go to a different spectrum and then actually send digital signals out. And for a while, people had to buy these crazy converter boxes. But by now, everybody has like a flat screen TV at home, right? And all these flat screen TVs, anything you need to do for it is just plug a simple antenna in the back, and you can access all your local stations, or pretty much all your local stations. Unless you live like in a weird cave where the reception is really, really bad. But for many people, that's a great way to watch the big broadcasters. So ABC, CBS, NBC, and all those signals are broadcasted in HD. So you get beautiful pictures, you get it all for free, and all you need is a cheap antenna, and you can buy one at Radio Shack for $10. You can buy a little better looking one for $40 or something. But if you want to watch local news, or if you want to even watch something like Grey's Anatomy, or a show that you're a really big fan of, I know a lot of people are a fan of Glee or something like that, and they want to watch the show as it happens because they don't want to be left out when people are talking about it the next day. So these shows, most of those shows air on big broadcasters. Fox airs Glee here in the US, and that stuff is available for free over the air. So all you need is an antenna, and you can tap into that for free.
Isn't that funny? Because that's kind of like the way that we used to do it, like you said. So they are still broadcasting? Because I know there was this big initiative maybe about a year ago where they were saying you had to get a converter. All the signals were going to be converted to digital, and if you didn't have the right mechanism, you wouldn't be able to receive television. So you're saying that we can still use a rabbit ear and get the signal?
Yes, essentially that's exactly right. And, you know, there was a way, I think it was actually like 2 or 3 years ago, I forgot the exact date, I think it might have been 2009, but it was terribly confusing for people because suddenly like the stations would disappear from their television. And it is only a problem if you have like one of those old boob tube televisions that is not a flat screen TV anymore. Because those TVs need a converter box, and these converter boxes I think are still available for $50, but it's kind of complicated because it's yet another box that you have at home. But if you bought a new TV, and almost everybody I know has a flat screen TV at home now, they all have a tuner built in. They have this converter basically built into the TV set. So all you need is you plug your antenna in the back, and you're good to go.
Well, I still see some problems with...
Yeah, I agree. With that, Jacko, about the antenna stuff. Jody, if you have an antenna on your roof, actually, before I mention that, Jacko, when does digital get, when does analog get turned off over there, mate?
It is turned off. That was the whole thing. They gradually transitioned, and then I think in 2009, okay, they turned it off.
Okay, good stuff. So, Jody, all you need to do is just get a digital antenna on your roof, plug that into your TV, and you're set. Goodbye, cable TV.
And for many people, you don't even need an antenna on the roof. I know that many people got rid of those a couple of years ago when you had like when you switched to cable or you redid your roof or something, and this big ugly thing had to go.
Yep.
So in many cases, a regular indoor antenna actually does just fine. And people have been working. There's a whole kind of interesting industry of antenna makers now that make crazy antennas that look not at all like these rabbit ears anymore, but they're like kind of flat little screens that are as big as a notebook and as thin as, as thin as a little magazine or something like that. And you can hang them on the wall, you can hang them in the window, and they have a really, really good reception. It's actually really fascinating.
So tell us about your setup at home. What do you have at home?
So I use over-the-air TV for some of the stuff. Most of it I don't watch live in real time, obviously, because I'm just not around or I don't have as much time. I do have a Boxybox to access Netflix and some other online content.
Nice.
And it also has a browser, so you can access stuff from different websites. And then because I review all of these things, I have like a switching array of other boxes that I kind of access and use for different other services. So it's kind of a changing setup that I have here. It's a little atypical. I can't really say you should do it like I do because it's a little crazy. I have new remote controls every week.
Exactly.
But I think Boxybox and over-the-air television are like my main components.
I agree. What's going on with Boxybox these days? They've been a bit quiet, mate. They've died or
That is an interesting question. So they came out with something else, which is Cloudy. It's kind of like a personal video sharing service that they released earlier as a closed beta. And this week they opened it up as an open beta. So it helps you to, if you have an iPhone, it helps you to share videos privately with your friends. Or you can also upload videos from your desktop now. And there have been some speculations in the past that they might use part of this as part of, sorry about that in the background here. I have two daughters, one of them just woke up. So there have been some speculations in the past that they might use some of that for also Boxy infrastructure, do some interesting Boxy services. And they don't really talk about it, so I don't know much about it, but it is interesting. They started to ask people to sign up for their kind of early beta testers or early alpha test program. And they're asking people specifically, you know, if you want to test some new services that we're working on, what kind of stations can you receive in your area? So it seems like they're doing something with over-the-air television as well. And earlier this year, of course, they came out with a little adapter that you plug in and then you can watch over-the-air television through the Boxybox with a little programming guide. It's a live TV stick. It's nice. It doesn't really add that much functionality, but the next logical step would be, I guess, to add a DVR functionality of some sort to it. So it could be that they're coming up with that. It could be that they're working on a new version of the software. Maybe there's even some new hardware. We don't quite know.
Yeah.
But I think it could be interesting to see what comes out of that company in the next couple of months.
Yeah, I haven't been using my Boxybox for ages. I've been using the Apple TV recently now with my iPad and AirPlay and stuff. I've been really enjoying the Apple TV. It's really good.
Hey.
You've been using the Apple TV too, Paul? You got an Apple TV, don't you, as well?
Yeah, I got two of them.
How do you like the Apple TV? Do you use that more than your Foxtel?
Primarily Foxtel. I just use to record shows.
Okay.
But I couldn't be stuff downloading on iTunes, basically, because we have crappy internet in Australia. But
fair enough.
Yeah, as far as Foxtel goes, I don't really watch it as much as I want to. Like, if I want to watch certain shows that haven't come out on free TV, I basically then go and download it. But as far as pay TV goes in Australia, it's not really a big selling point. It's cheap, but it's still not a selling point because you can get most of the shows that you watch on pay TV on free TV anyway. So.
Exactly, yeah. That's my next point. Free to air, over your digital, they still show great shows out there.
Yes, in a couple of weeks you're going to see everything you want to see on free TV anyway. So,
definitely. Even on Channel 10 next week, they're bringing on four shows. And they're going to fast track it to Australia.
Yeah, they're getting better at that now.
Oh yeah, definitely on free air. Yes, for sure.
They're keeping pretty close to the US. Back to back now.
Definitely,
so.
definitely. And so, Jay, what are you going to do about your TV situation? Are you going to get rid of cable TV when you leave the podcast today or not?
am I going to get rid of it?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to test the idea with a digital antenna. I'm going to have to look into that. I like that idea. I am definitely paying way too much for cable. And in fact,
how much do you pay a month?
Oh my gosh. How much do I pay a month? I'm probably, because my cable also includes my cable internet, and I also have the phone through the cable. I'm probably in the $200 a month range.
Oh my God. That is
a Yeah, but of that, for television, it's probably, I'm going to say, like maybe 50% of it is television.
Okay.
So, and it's because of the premium channels, and the reality is nobody watches it. So I really don't know why I need it. And I've got Netflix as well on top of everything else. And I've got Apple TV.
Yep.
So
exactly. There you go. There you go, Jody. You're all set, mate. Just rip the box out of your wall and smash it.
Send the check to you.
No, don't. Send it to them. Steve, what are you going to do about your cable box? Are you going to get rid of it and smash it or what?
No. Actually, I just wanted to say that that in a lot of instances, it's hard to really cut the cable. 100% because, just look at Netflix. I mean, it's probably the most popular, way to watch TVs and movies, but it seems like it takes them forever, especially TV series, to update it. So you actually have to find different sites or ways to watch. You might have to get Hulu or multiple places, where cable, you can get it all one place because they have so many channels to choose from. So I see in a lot of instances it's kind of hard to cut cable 100% unless you downgrade packages. I think that's what he mentioned as well, which is a good idea, actually.
Yeah, definitely, for sure, for sure. But, yeah, I still want to see a new TV in your lounge room too, Steve. You still got that CRT one as well. Yeah, but it's okay to mention.
Yeah, it's my collector's item.
It is. So, Janko, what else have you been up to, mate? What else do you do on there? How long have you been working for Gig and Home and that sort of thing?
I started working as a freelancer for Gigo, early 2007, so a long, long time ago.
Okay.
And I gradually started writing more for them. I'm on the staff now for, I think it's about my anniversary now, for 3 years.
Cool.
I've been working a lot, writing a lot about video stuff for them. So covering all these companies, Netflix, Hulu, and YouTube increasingly. And then doing some other stuff occasionally as well, writing about online music and subscription service in that area, so Spotify and stuff like that.
What's your view on Spotify? I actually spoke to someone about that yesterday, about the music. Does any money go from Spotify to the artists? How much money do the artists get,
I think it's starting to matter for artists, because the interesting thing about Spotify is, so it's kind of a weird numbers game. You can't really compare it to music downloads or even CD sales, because if you compare this one play on Spotify to your CD that you buy or something, and of course it looks like next to nothing because it's like 0.2% or something, 0.2 cents or something. It's a very small amount per song play. But then the other thing about it is that if I really like an album on Spotify and have it on heavy rotation, I play songs 100 times or something in a week, or I play them, maybe my favorite songs, 1,000 times a year or something like that, right?
Yep.
So, and then it suddenly starts to matter, because before I buy a CD once and then I an artist gets a little bit of that, but then he never sees money again from me until he records the next CD. And now suddenly this is becoming like this recurring income stream, which is kind of interesting. I think some artists are starting to like that. Some are still not really on board with it. And I can understand that it's kind of scary that, people might not buy music traditionally ever again if they just subscribe to something for $10 a month, or get part of it even free, right? Spotify has a free tier that is ad-supported, and that's pretty generous as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So I can understand that people are kind of hesitant about it, but I think it's starting to matter. And there's some countries already where it's like the second biggest income source for some of the record labels.
Okay. All right. What are your thoughts on the iPhone 5, Jacko? Jenko?
On what?
The iPhone 5.
As I've said, I'm an Android user. So
okay, what Android phone do you have?
I've seen an iPhone 5. It looks nice, definitely. And it's nice that iPhone users finally have a bigger screen available.
Yeah, definitely. What phone do you have at the moment?
I have HTC One S.
Okay, cool.
It's like an Android 4.0 phone. It's unfortunately, it's kind of HTC cram their own stuff on top of that, but it's still pretty decent.
Cool. All right. And what about you, Paul? You got the iPhone 5 last week, mate. What do you think of it?
Well, so far it's certainly a lot better. In mainly, I got it for the LTE speeds. So in terms of 4G, it's brilliant. I definitely noticed the speed levels on this. Like in comparison to my HTC Velocity 4G, it definitely gives it a speed kick.
Okay. So the iPhone 5 is more faster on 4G with the other phone you have?
Unfortunately, it's the same because Telstra have basically, they've got, their infrastructure is sort of bogged down now in terms of users.
Yeah.
Like we used to be getting, 40 to 50 megabits per second downloads. Now we're just getting 25 to 30.
Yeah, and that's why I went to Yes Optus, because it's 4G is not busy.
Well, yeah, Optus have just come out with their 4G network, so obviously they're going to have the best speeds ever because there's not many people on it. So
yeah, it's good, mate. Steve, what are your views on the iPhone 5 before we go, mate?
I think it's good. I mean, it's got the most requested feature with a little bit larger screen size on it. Obviously, it's faster.
Yep.
Of course, with the new iOS 6 on it. And so, yeah, I think it's a winner.
All right, what about you, Jody?
I think that for anybody who had a 4 or anything earlier, definitely it's an upgrade. For the 4S, I'm going to hold out and wait for the 5S. So next year, you guys will be crying when I get my new phone.
Not really.
I know. You'll get another new one anyway. I know, Brad.
Probably. Janko, what else do you want to mention before we go, mate? So cord cutting's great. I love it. I don't pay for pay TV. It's shit. It's rubbish. It's a waste of money.
Since you give me the chance, I almost forgot to mention it. We also just did an ebook about the whole subject. So if you guys want to read up a little more about it, there's an ebook. It's available on Amazon and on the Apple Bookstore and I think on Barnes & Noble or something.
Is that a free book, mate, or is it free? How much
It is $5.
Okay.
For about 100 pages, if you would print it out, you read on your Kindle, and I think it's a good read, if I can say so myself. It just kind of sums it all up. You want to have it all in one place if you want to know which kind of devices are out there, which ones are the best for you, which of the services are the best for you, and if you want to know more stuff about how to use an antenna and what you need to know before you then finally do the jump. I think it's a good collection of tips and reviews, and it's called Cut the Cord, All You Need to Know to Drop Cable. So you can search for that on Amazon and then it should show up.
Nice. Do you get much into satellite free to air TV?
Excuse me?
Like satellite. In Australia here, people use satellite to get different channels.
Over here, I think there's more commercial satellite providers. I know that there's some people who try to tap into other satellite feeds, but it's not really a big thing. Since over the air works so well, where I live, I give 50 channels over the air for free.
Oh, wow.
So there's not really a need for me to like fish around with any satellite dish.
What are the channels you get on there? Just name four of them. What do they get? What do you get?
I get the big broadcasters in the US. So I get ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, then public broadcasters. I have like three or four, I think.
Yep.
And some other ones that are smaller.
Nice. What about music? Do you get any music stuff? What sort of music channels do you get?
I don't actually know if there's a dedicated music channel. But, okay. I mean, for that, I think turning online is much nicer because you actually get a more customized experience.
Yeah.
So if you instead go to Vivo or something, I think they do a really good job at that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They're kind of becoming like the new MTV in a way.
Definitely, yeah. Vivo is great. Yep. I agree.
Just go to YouTube. They have a lot of stuff as well.
Yeah, Vivo, get the app on the iPad or the iPhone or whatever. Get it on Xbox or whatever. It's really great. Really nice.
Exactly.
Paul, what do you want to say before we go, mate? You want to mention anything?
One thing about Spotify, I was just thinking with that. Don't they make the same money based on how Pandora works?
No, it's actually very different. It's a very different model, and Pandora is kind of using... Pandora is specific to the US, right? So it's I think they're actually not available in other countries. I don't know, I might get this wrong, but they initially restricted to the US, and because there's an interesting loophole in the US copyright law. It gets very specific now, but essentially they don't pay the record labels directly. They don't have direct contracts with record labels. They're more like a radio, where they pay collecting rights societies. And so that's a very different formula, and they don't need to do individual contracts with record labels, so there's a set rate for them. So it's very different. In the end, I think Spotify probably pays artists a little more than Pandora. Pandora is, on the other hand, offers more sell-through stuff. So people, when they listen to Pandora, often buy stuff on iTunes that they like. So it's a little bit of a different angle. But there are very different models on the back end.
Okay.
All right. Cool. Good answer, mate. All right, Jody, you want to mention anything before we go?
I think the idea of cutting the cord is a great idea, and I think that it's a great investment. And I appreciate your coming on, Janko, and sharing that information with us.
Sure, you're very welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Janko. Where can they find you on Twitter and stuff, mate?
So years ago, I thought, let's figure out a really hard Twitter name. So I chose JANK0. I don't know why. But you can also just search for Janko Rutgers. Or maybe, I don't know if you guys have show notes, you can add it to that as well.
Yeah, I'll
I
put in the show notes. Yeah,
and all that stuff.
I'll put that link. I'll put your Google Plus page on there and stuff.
Yeah, and or you can also just go to gigaohm.com.
Yep.
And you find a lot of my stuff and great articles that my colleagues are over there write.
All right, good stuff. And what's the next product you're going to be reviewing next?
I have another video about Google TV in the pipeline that's going to be out next week. And then there's some other interesting stuff that I don't know if I can talk about yet.
Okay.
But or some other stuff that I also just don't have recorded yet, so I don't want to promise too much. But a small Google TV video is going up early next week.
Cool. All right. We'll watch that next week. Go to JD. JD, where can they get you on Twitter before we go?
You can find me on Twitter as Sunswept, SunSwept.
Cool.
Just about everywhere else, you can find me either at WebMarcom. My URL is webmarcom.net, or as Jody Raines, JODYRAINES.
And good job being on TV too, Jody, the other day. I've seen that video.
Thank you. Thanks.
How was that? Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, it was great. It was, I think that next month is supposed to be Cybersecurity Month, so I'm sure that we're hopefully going to be doing more. So we'll see how that goes.
Are you going to be famous now because you're on TV?
I'm famous because I'm a co-host on Tech Webcast.
And you'll be going to the Grammys next, then probably be
in- there. You go.
Yeah, Paul, where can I get you, mate?
You can get me on pkr12.com. Obviously, my Twitter is pkr12, and then there's YouTube.
YouTube.
You can also get me on kamadoku.com now, because apparently I'm part of them guys now since I recently did some development work on their app.
Nice.
You can get me on kamaduku.com as well.
All right, and you can get me on at Twitter, Brad, on Tech Webcast. Steve, before we go, what do you want to say?
Of course, on justin.tv/LinuxCoolDude for the live show, and of course, on Twitter, chatterbox_live.
And Steve, as always, every week, every day, each week, you lost a game.
I got your
point. Jody, do you agree? Did you lose a game? Did he lose?
He lost the game.
He did.
He lost the game.
He
lost the game.
I said it first.
He lost the game every week. And Steve, I have an iPhone 5 and you don't.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech here. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. Weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running tech news podcast.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more tech talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guests they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace!